If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to CBS Mornings. I'm Nate Burleson.
I'm Vladimir Duthier.
And I'm Jamie Yuccas.
We begin this morning with a record number of new COVID cases and controversy over the CDC's COVID response. We'll hear from the CDC's director in just a few minutes. More than 400,000 cases were reported yesterday across the United States, the most ever in one day. Our country is averaging more than 240,000 new cases a day over the last week. Mark Strassman is outside CDC headquarters in Atlanta a day after new guidance was announced for people who test positive. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Vlad. Once again, the CDC is under fire. Its critics are frustrated, confused, angry about this latest guidance, which cuts by half the number of days infected people have to quarantine from 10 to 5. And as soon as they show no symptoms, the CDC says they're ready to rejoin everyone else.
Are you feeling okay today, dear?
Critics call it reckless. The CDC's new end of quarantine guidance says nothing about passing a COVID test first, if you can find one.
You can't get an appointment anywhere else so after the New Year.
The Omicron variant continues to disrupt almost every aspect of American life. On Tuesday alone, the airlines had to cancel more than 1,000 flights. In San Diego, COVID forced UCLA's football team to pull out from Tuesday's Holiday Bowl, while the NFL set a new record for the number of players out with COVID, 106 added to the reserve list. Businesses like Atlanta's Ticonderoga Club are running out of employees and options.
We have people testing 10 days later, still testing positive, and it's like, well, that doesn't make us feel very confident.
The CDC's new guidance on emerging from COVID isolation could ease those widespread workplace disruptions, shortening the isolation window for COVID patients showing no symptoms from 10 days to just 5. But without first passing a COVID test, critics say those people unknowingly could pour gas on America's wildfire of COVID.
If you save 5 days but send somebody back infectious, and they infect 3 people, and they also come back and infect another 3 people each, you know, very quickly it balloons.
Here in Atlanta, the New Year's party is over before it ever began, canceled because of COVID for the second year in a row. From New York to Los Angeles to major cities around the world, New Year's celebrations have either been canceled or significantly cut back. Nate?
Mark, thank you. The CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, joins us right now. Good morning, Rochelle. How are you doing?
I'm well. Good morning, Nate. How are you?
Good. Now, as we just heard, some medical experts think that there should be a negative test requirement at the end of the 5-day isolation period. Why is that not required?
Yeah, really important question. So let me sort of go through the science that we were looking at as we were making these recommendations. First is watching the virus. How does the virus behave? And what we do know is about 85% to 90% of viral transmission happens in those first 5 days, which is why we really want people to stay home during that period of time and then mask for the rest of the time to capture that last 10% to 15%. We also know we're expecting a large number of cases. We've seen that in other countries, and many of those cases may be asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. So we want to be able to get people back out if they're feeling well, but to also have them be masked. And finally, we want to make sure that when people isolate, to the extent that they can and are able to isolate, that they do so during that most infectious period, those first 5 days. To the question of why we didn't recommend an antigen test, first, we know a PCR test would not be viable because that PCR can stay positive for up to 12 weeks. weeks, for months and months. But for the antigen, this is a really important question, and that is because we don't know how this antigen performs with regard to predicting transmissibility towards the end of your period of infection. We know it performs really well during that period where you're initially infected, but the FDA has not at all looked at whether that correlate of your positive antigen really does correlate with whether you're transmissible or not. So with a negative antigen test, we'd still ask you to wear a mask. With a positive antigen test, we'd still say you could wear a mask. And since it wasn't going to make a difference in our recommendations, we did not recommend an antigen at that period of time.
I do have to ask you, there are so many places across this country where people just aren't wearing masks. Now you're asking them to wear masks. How do we get this across to people that, you know, if you've been exposed or you've tested positive, you still have to wear that mask for a certain period of time?
Right. Well, and that's actually a really important point, and that is we really do need people to follow these recommendations for them to work. But I would also say those people who are not masking, who are out and about, are probably not the ones who are isolating either. So what we really wanted to do is make sure that these recommendations were more easily followed. We shortened the time to encourage people to do the right thing, especially those who are infected. We don't want them out and about when they are maximally infectious.
Dr. Walensky, I want to get back to the rapid antigen testing for a second. If they were more readily available in this country, would you have included a testing requirement after that 5-day period?
So to be clear, we did not include a testing requirement in isolation because we were not clear. It was not clear what we would do with the information when we had it, and because the FDA has not authorized that antigen test for that use. We do absolutely recommend an antigen test in our quarantine recommendations for anybody who after they've been exposed at 5 days. So this really had nothing to do with supply. It had everything to do with knowing what we would do with the information when we got it.
Dr. Walensky, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
In other news this morning, winter has finally arrived in Chicago. After 287 straight days without snow, the city got its first measurable snowfall of the season yesterday. It was the latest first snowfall in Chicago's history. Don't look for snow anytime soon in Laredo, Texas, though. It could hit 90 degrees there in Laredo. More than three dozen cities across the South could see record highs. Those warm temperatures will trigger the threat of severe weather tonight, including potential tornadoes for parts of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama.
The parents of a 14-year-old girl killed by police in a Los Angeles police department store, are calling for justice this morning. Valentina Oriana Peralta was shopping with her mother when police shot and killed a man who was assaulting customers. She was hit by a stray bullet that pierced the wall of her dressing room. Her mother described that moment through an attorney.
She died in my arms, and there was nothing I could do. To see a son or daughter die in your arms is one of the pains, the greatest pains and most profound pains that any human being can imagine.
I don't think anyone can imagine that pain. According to her family, Valentina had moved to the U.S. just 6 months ago. Police have released edited video of the incident, including surveillance and body cam footage. The LAPD calls the incident, quote, tragic and devastating. The officer who killed her is on paid administrative leave during this investigation.
Retired Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has died at 82 after a fight with pancreatic cancer. For more than three decades, the Nevada Democrat was known as one of the toughest dealmakers in Congress during a time of immense partisan divisions. In a statement, President Biden, who served in the Senate with Reid for 22 years, said, for Harry, it wasn't about power for power's sake. It was about the power to do right for the people. Chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett has more on the legacy of the longtime Democratic leader.
I didn't make it in life because of my athletic prowess. I didn't make it because of my good looks. I didn't make it because I'm a genius. I made it because I worked hard.
Those words spoken to be the key to success by a man who embodied what hard work and tenacity truly means. Harry Reid earned a reputation as one of the toughest lawmakers in Congress.
The deal doesn't have to be a fight.
There's a simple path forward. Just put all four bills together, bring them to the floor.
A former amateur boxer, he brought a willingness to draw partisan blood and famously carried the motto, I would rather dance than fight, but I know how to fight.
Republicans were willing to do anything, take health care away from millions of people. Scores of votes to repeal it. What a waste of the taxpayers' time.
Reed grew up in the small town of Searchlight, Nevada, in a cabin with no indoor plumbing. He had to hitchhike 40 miles to attend high school, where he met his wife, Landra Gould.
She's been the being of my existence, in my personal life and my public life.
Reed was elected to the House in 1982, rising to the heights of power, serving as Senate Majority Leader in 2007. Over his 34-year congressional career, Reed was behind many landmark Democratic victories, pushing through a sweeping economic stimulus after the Great Recession, and Reed played a significant role in passing the Affordable Care Act, which he later described as his favorite but hardest fight in the Senate.
I want the people of the state of Nevada to know that I am so grateful, and I have done my best. I haven't been perfect, but I've really tried my hardest.
Major Garrett joins us now, along with CBS News political contributor Joel Payne, a Democratic Party strategist who worked for Senator Reed. Good morning to you both. Major, let's begin with you. What do you think his legacy will be?
So let's start in Nevada. No one rises to national prominence without getting reelected. So in Nevada, Harry Reid's legacy is environmental first and foremost. He kept something from happening that was going to happen, making Yucca Mountain the final resting place for all nuclear waste in this country. Harry Reid blocked that, a significant victory for Nevada. He also brought the Nevada presidential caucuses to that state in 2008, and ever since, it's been third in line in the Democratic nominating process, elevating Nevada's importance. Also, he built the most important political machine in the state history. For 20 years or more, anyone who made a political move in Nevada, Democrat or Republican, had to vector off Harry Reid and his political machine. Nationally, he was Mitch McConnell before Mitch McConnell. What do I mean by that? He was a tenacious party and Senate leader who used all the procedural rules of that body to get what he wanted to achieve, often to the consternation and boiling fury of his political opposition. He also centralized power in leadership offices in ways even Lyndon Johnson did not. Lastly, on a national level, he intensified what was already happening, an intense fight over the future of the federal bench. That legacy on the federal bench and its implications for the Supreme Court, also part of Harry Reid's legacy.
Joel, speaking of the current minority leader, Mitch McConnell, he praised Senator Reid on Twitter yesterday, saying even though they had intense conflict, he appreciated the friendship. Having worked for him, what was that relationship really like in the halls of Congress, and what stands out to you about how he conducted himself on the Hill?
Well, Harry Reid was an amateur boxer, and styles make fights. And I guess you could say Reid and McConnell probably looked at each other and saw similar fighters. They saw mirror images of each other, people who were, you know, for lack of a better term, gym rats, who worked their way up from the back bench of the Senate all the way up to leadership, and just understand how to get hard things done. I think that's the Reid legacy. Major talked a little bit about some of those accomplishments nationally. I worked for him at the beginning of the Obama administration in 2009 and 10. And I'll tell you, it was the most productive Congress in history. You just go back and look at those accomplishments, the ACA, but Wall Street reform, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act for fairness for women in the workplace. The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. SCHIP, 9/11 first responders bill. It was a modern day great society, and Harry Reid helped lord over it.
Major, speaking of former President Obama, he encouraged then Senator Obama to run for president. President Obama said in a statement last night, I wouldn't have been president had it not been for your encouragement and support. I wouldn't have got most of what I'd got done without your skill and determination. Let's talk about that skill and determination and some of the legislation that was passed, Major, including the Affordable Care Act. Was that his greatest achievement?
I don't think there's any question that from a procedural point of view and from moving a complex piece of legislation through Congress, the Affordable Care Act is without question Harry Reid's legacy. He believed that that bill would stand the test of time, not only politically, but practically. And by all measures, it has. More people are signing up. Yes, it requires subsidies, but there is no longer talk in Republican circles, as there was vociferously for years, about repealing it. And Harry Reid used every tool in the book to deal with a 60-vote Senate majority of Democrats, remember that, to get Democrats on board, even though they were reluctant. And yes, did he hand out what were described at the time, probably accurately, as special favors in Louisiana and Nebraska to get that 60-vote coalition? Yes, he did. But he considered the goal worth all of the hard work and sometimes the uncomfortable deals necessary to make that legislation not only a reality, but one that has stuck and stayed in American political and insurance life.
Indeed, he will be long remembered. Major Garrett and Joel Payne, always good to see you both. Thank you very much.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.